6, which is a public workshop for comments on the non-point source program strategy for the five-year plan.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Fred Blatt. I'm the division chief for the non-point source and timber harvest division at the regional board. And I'm going to give you a brief staff presentation to introduce the workshop item. So this is a workshop to solicit input from you and the public on development of our five-year non-point source work plan for the North Coast region. A little outline of the presentation. I'll give you some background on the non-point source program, some of the accomplishments we had from our last five-year non-point source work plan. I'll give you an outline on the planning process for this year's effort, the 2013 to 2018 five-year work plan. Give you the guidance that we've been handed for ranking the initiatives that will go in the work plan. One slide on the structure of the work plan and the schedule we're working under. This slide just shows the classic categories of non-point source pollution that the state and EPA recognize. They're forestry, urban runoff, hydro modification, wetlands, agriculture, boating, and marinas. And as you can imagine, underneath each one of these, there's a variety of issues and subcategories of non-point source pollution that we deal with. Some of the key accomplishments from our last five-year work plan were the U.S. Forest Service non-point source waiver that you adopted, covering non-point source activities rather than just timber harvest activities from the U.S. Forest Service. Adoption of revised waivers for the Shasta and Scott River TMDLs. Development and implementation of the dairy program. The 5C waiver and water quality certification that you adopted last May for county roads. And under forestry, we adopted a roads WDR for Green Diamond, ownership WDR, a watershed-wide WDR for Humboldt Redwoods Company, and the non-industrial timber management plan WDR you also adopted last May. So for this five-year work plan, the process is that the state board is developing a 15-year non-point source strategy, and each regional board is developing a five-year work plan. And every 5 years, we'll do that and put that into the 15-year plan. The state board and EPA develop guidelines for each of these planning cycles, and I'll go over some of those with you in a minute. The five-year work plan can contain 3 to 5 initiatives. It doesn't have to contain 5, but it can contain up to 5. And staff will continue to work on, just want you to know that we'll continue to work on other non-point source issues throughout our region, not just the 3 to 5 that you would see in the work plan. So the guidelines that were handed down to us were to focus on 3 to 5 initiatives for restoration, improvement, and protection efforts, that the work plan needed to contain numerical performance measures for each of the initiatives we put in the work plan. They wanted us to reemphasize the need to use TMDL implementation plans to control non-point source pollution, and we do that quite a bit in this region. And we're also required to give 2 written reports to the state board each year on our progress. As I mentioned, there's a requirement to have numerical performance measures, and these are to focus on what we're accomplishing, basically, with restoration, improvement, and protection. They're supposed to be easily reportable and measurable milestones, and we're supposed to develop them for each initiative. And that's a new requirement, new guideline they gave us, and I think in your, on the handout for this item, attachment 1 has some of those, appendix B, some of the measures that we will consider. So that's something new, and we'll have to get imaginative and come up with some metrics for those. And when I show you the plan structure, I'll show you where that'll fit in. So what we're doing is we're working to determine which non-point source initiatives the board, the stakeholders, and public and staff want to emphasize in the next 5 years. To do that, we're holding some workshops to solicit information from you and the public. Back in April, we held a mini staff workshop, if you will, here for about a couple hours and solicited staff input as to what they thought the important non-point source issues were throughout our region. And today we're having a board workshop. And next Tuesday we'll have a staff workshop up in Eureka to solicit input from the public in the northern part of our region. The guidelines that we received from State Board and EPA on how to rank these initiatives were as follows. You know, consider what is the level of threat to water quality from the non-point source issue. Are there any ongoing efforts by the regional board that we can build on? Are there ongoing efforts by the state board statewide that we can build on or that they can take the lead on? And as you can imagine, some of these are, if the state board is working on it, it gets a lower ranking than it, and if we're working on it, it probably gets a higher ranking because we're going to continue to work on it. So that's how that numerical numbers balance out, and we come up with a number that helps us rank these initiatives. Is there opportunities to coordinate with other agencies or entities? Are there opportunities to defer the action to another agency or entity? Are there existing requirements or expectations that we should be addressing the issue? And is that initiative consistent with the categories of non-points in the non-point source program and the guidance from the state board? And what's the estimation of the chances of successful completion of the initiative in addressing the issue? And then we've got to sprinkle in a little bit of regional board staff knowledge and professional judgment on the issue. Is it knowing the region and knowing what's going on? Is it something important, something unique to Region 1 that we should be taking on? So this slide is just just kind of give you a picture of what the plan structure looks like. So the plan will contain 3 to 5 initiatives. There'll be an introduction that talks about Region 1 and description of our region and the non-point source things that go on in Region 1. And then there'll be initiatives like 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, up to 1.5 for each of the 5 initiatives if we have 5. And there'll be a description of the initiative, a need statement, why are we addressing the issue, what are the goals and objectives we hope to attain by dealing with the non-point source issue, what proposed activities will be involved into for completion and restoration and to deal with the issue. And again, the performance measures or metrics to show our progress and in achieving that. So the schedule is that back in January, Mark Neely gave you an informational item on this. On February of this year, we received the final guidelines from State Board and EPA, US EPA. As I mentioned, we had a mini staff workshop on April 3rd where we solicited input from staff. And then we have a couple workshops planned, today's workshop, and as I mentioned, one next Tuesday up in Eureka. We hope to have a draft plan available for your agenda package around July 12th, and then we'll bring that draft work plan to you on August 22nd board meeting in Santa Rosa for your comments. And then we need to turn that into State Board by August 30th. So we'll have time between the informational item in August, the August board meeting, and August 30th to make any changes you might recommend. I also wanted to point out that this process of soliciting staff public input and bringing the item to you as a board is unique. The other regional boards don't use this process. They use an internal with management and staff and the executive officer. So we Region 1, we've been doing it we did it last time for our 5-year work plan. We did use the same process where we did workshops and solicited your input. And that's a unique to Region 1. The other regional boards aren't using that kind of process. It's more internal. And I think historically we've done it that way. So that's just a quick overview of the non-point source program, the 5-year plan, some of the guidelines that we need to adhere to. And I'd be happy to answer any questions before we open it up for your input and public input.
Are the guidelines for ranking from the state or regional?
Those came down from the state board and US EPA as guidelines for us to consider.
Because what it strikes me immediately, are there ongoing efforts mean that if we have something of great threat to water quality, then there are ongoing record efforts, we'll leave it alone. And I really hope we give the very highest ranking, is there a threat to water quality? And that will color some of the others, because otherwise you could have a high threat to water quality and not do anything about it the way the guidelines are set up.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments, questions? Fred, would you be so kind as to share with us what, can you share with us the what would have been put forth as potential items that will come under this plan? You've solicited items.
Yeah, we did from staff, and I didn't make it part of the presentation. I didn't want to bias anything, but I do have a list of some of the things we came up with and some of the ones that are rising to the top as what staff thought were really high priorities. The ones that rose to the top were some things we're already working on, some things we're not working on, and some things we want to be working on that you've already heard about. So our agricultural lands program, which is in development, that's rising to the top as something that we should continue to develop and get adopted and implement. There's a number of ownership and watershed-wide timber permits that are out there that need to get accomplished that are high priorities for us, I think, like the elk and freshwater, to name one, name two. Also, marijuana grow operations and their impact on the environment and water quality, that seems to be rising to the top of something we should be looking at and try to get a handle on for protection in our region. And also there seems to be an effort rising to the top of doing maybe some focused watershed work. And specifically our coastal watersheds, maybe from Russian River up to Matole. And that's an area where coho are in great danger of extinction. And you'll hear more about that later today from Charlotte Ambrose. And we could incorporate into that effort, if that's something we want to pursue, as one of these focused initiatives. Even if it's not a focused initiative, it can still be something that we work on as a priority in our non-point source program. But it could include also subcategories of working on focused watershed stewardship, could be getting restoration permitting streamlined so we can get projects done that help coho. Rural roads were another one that popped up as something that we know is a potential problem out there that we haven't really tackled yet. We hopefully are working on the county roads now, but the rural roads on private lands we haven't really dealt with. That's another one. So those are the ones that are rising to the top. There was a huge list of other activities as well that I'd be happy to go over if you'd like some of them.
In the interest of time, not that we have a packed day here, but I would be interested to see those, and possibly not today. I mean, if you could maybe just distribute them thus. It is a work in progress where you're going through a ranking and criteria. I'm just interested in, you know, maybe a more complete compendium of what's being considered here.
Sure.
Some of these sound like, by the way, that they're already going, the Agland Discharge Program. Ownership permitting has certainly been something that we've been working on for a long time. I mean, these are all really interesting because they bring together and focus on things outside of a sole purpose, right? They bring together the efforts of others and ourselves and bring together these programs, and I think that's really valuable. So,
good, thank you.
Any comments or questions? Fred, I do have one speaker card, Mr. Peter Rybar. Let's take that and then we'll come back, okay?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Peter Rybar, Campbell Timberland Management. I just wanted to kind of comment on the importance of interfacing and interrelating with other agencies and entities that have similar regulatory programs, aka the Board of Forestry. And the reason I say that, even though this, what I'm going to bring up, isn't one of a very discrete initiative, it's something that I think would be most helpful across many initiatives related to the timber program. And that has to do with an effectiveness monitoring committee that the Board of Forestry is proposing to develop, and it's been in development for some time. And as you might remember, under AB 1492 last year, the timber lumber assessment, there's going to be some funding available for monitoring, as well as, implementing additions to staff of the agencies. And so my hope would be that, you know, this board would direct staff to get themselves in a very high participatory mode within this committee and participate to the maximum extent possible, because the goal of the committee is try to assist in determining the effectiveness of the forest practice rules that everybody is concerned about regarding water quality protection. So as a high priority issue, I would think that it would be, you know, it's incumbent upon this committee having the broadest representation from, you know, both the other resource agencies such as CAL FIRE, Geological Survey, National Marine Fisheries Service, and of course the regional boards are would likely be a member of that and a valuable member, both the a number of the regional boards, whether it be the Central Valley or this board or, you know, down south on the coast. So it's extremely important that, that you folks be aware of that. I think staff has been participating in some of the committee meetings, so they're aware of that. But a draft is out there for circulation now, and I just wanted both the staff and you to be aware of that the Board of Forestry is taking this whole issue extremely seriously, and hopefully there will be funding to actually facilitate a very robust program. Also under 1492, one of the outcomes of that is there's supposed to be an annual report on ecological performance of the program. And as a result of that, monitoring is going to be a key component to that. So this is all going to be integrated into this program, and the Effectiveness Monitoring Committee will be kind of a lead driver of this effort. So I would just hope that, you know, however this issue could be brought into, you know, your NPS plan, it's kind of dovetails right in there. Effectiveness monitoring is what these numerical criteria are all about, trying to come up with ways that we can all agree exactly what are those questions that need to be answered and come up with strategies to monitor them to determine the effectiveness. So. That's all I had.
I just had a comment. One of the things I think the regional board is still digesting, and I'll go back to timber 25 years ago, 30 years ago. There wasn't a specific waiver, waste discharge requirements, and so the regional board would then select by problem watersheds, select by issues. When the state board went to non-point source where everyone had to be covered, one of the things that did is increase the redundancy and the cost to our agency, mm-hmm. to the CAL FIRE, and as well as to the, well, everybody now is involved in this process for each and every permit. Some way to get a little bit more selectivity back into it that's agreed to between the agencies, I think, could greatly increase efficiency. You have to have reopeners and that type of thing, and I think we all understand that, but we have a system now that's based upon regulating every single non-point timber discharge equally, and I think if you look historically, problems have been very concise, both in time, place, and watershed. It has been clouded by the 70% impaired, mm-hmm. A little bit this concept, but I do think finding a way to comply with the state board that the box has to be checked, and at the same time finding some way that water quality feels comfortable with on selectivity at the level of participation could create great efficiencies in the system for no loss of the environment. And in fact, as in the old days when you had it, then the agency could come in, you know, full guns, maybe that's the wrong term, but they could really focus and spend the staff time on problem areas. And I think we need to find some way to get back between those concepts.
Well, I know, the staff, through their numerous work plans have prioritized rankings of which tasks need to be done, or at least in their view need to be done first with your approval. So obviously, the staff has taken a lot of time to kind of rank those watersheds where they believe they, and elk and freshwater, I believe, are at the top. We're at the top, and I believe they're working through that process now. And I just wanted to bring this up because this is kind of a more at a programmatic level, not down at the little permit level, but more programmatically trying to get, some agreement as to how we're going to monitor these things to determine their effectiveness. And if they are effective, fine. And if they're not, then let's evaluate the need for modification. So it's kind of a more of a programmatic approach, but it is an opportunity, and that this board's participation would be a benefit to the program.
Hey, Peter, one question. So, not that you're representing Board of Forestry here,
right.
But can you just tell me, do you know the timeline from which, it sounds like it's a process in place, it's going, do you know when the endpoints come on this?
They were at the Board of Forestry Monitor and Study Group meeting yesterday in Ukiah. They released the current draft, and they're going to be soliciting participation and comment on that through the end of this month, because they wanted to get it back to the committee and actually harden up the charter and then solicit, you know, names for participants in this. Because it's going to be a 2 to 3 to 4 year period, staggered terms, a broad range of representation between stakeholders as well as agency personnel. So it's been out there in a bunch of different drafts and a bunch of different people have commented on, but I think it will be available on the monitoring study group website. I could leave a copy of the existing one with staff. It's the same one they're going to put up on the website, so it's nothing that you aren't going to be able to see. So, but comments are going to be solicited by the end of the month, so in order to get this process going.
Great. Peter, thanks for coming all the way down here and commenting. Mr. St. John.
And just to acknowledge that regional board staff participate in Board of Forestry meetings and in this subgroup, and we will certainly be commenting on the draft plan.
Fantastic. That's great.
Thank you.
Peter, thank you very much. I have no other speaker cards for this item. Fred, can I ask you to come back up? So, Fred, we have a process that's in play right now, and as I understand it, then you, let me go back to this, because you have a schedule up here that you're coming back to us at the August 22nd board meeting. You have a draft plan out sooner than a month before that. It sounds like you're rolling through this process.
That's right, yeah. Our plan is to, again, hold a workshop next Tuesday up in Eureka, solicit any input from there. And then Mark Neely and Tom Williams and I will be working on development of the five-year plan and with Matt and selecting some initiatives and developing that plan, putting the description and then coming up with the measures to track progress on those, and then developing that draft and getting it out for comment for you guys in your board agenda package, and then bringing it to you as an agenda informational item for more comment in a public forum. That's the current schedule and plan.
Okay. And of the things
you mentioned, if there's a way where you need information prior to the board meeting or want to have more discussions, I'm sure we'd be open to that.
Yeah, and not to jump in front of the public process that you have yet to come as well, right? You've got some things that are in play, and then as that draft goes out there, you know, just make us aware of it through, you know, dissemination to us as public. As it goes to public, then we could kind of see what's out there. I mean, you've got...
Sounds good.
Yeah, you've got some big chunky items on here, which is great. I think, again, it gets things outside of... Some of these are ongoing. Like I said, Eggland Discharge program is in development already, but it is an important program. It sounds like, you know, I mean, you've got any one of these you could spend your whole darn career on and a lot of time on. And, you know, you kind of stole my idea there, the whole coastal watershed initiative. You know, we have information today coming on Coho, and you know, it's really interesting. I mentioned, I think, at the last meeting that I went out on the Garcia with you, actually, and some other staff, and Jonathan Warmerdam took us out there. And it's really interesting that as a coastal tributary, there's several of those coastal tributaries that have technical TMDLs with no significant specific watershed implementation plan besides the Garcia. And to me, it's a bit separate and unequal from the standpoint that we have a Cadillac out there in the Garcia, which is super valuable, in my opinion, from the standpoint that we know what can be done with certain intent and funding and participation and all those things. And yet we have watersheds that I think could use some of that attention. Not all of it, but some of it. Some of it that's specific and intentional. I like the fact that this program or this process, this work planning process specific to non-point source, which is really what we're talking about, I believe, in these watersheds, it allows us to get at it from many angles. And so I certainly would just voice that from my support of the high five that you mentioned. I would certainly advocate for that. Not that I'm jumping ahead, but I mean,
you know, I kind of agree with you. The time seems ripe for moving what we've learned in Garcia and other parts of the region regarding watershed stewardship and focused activities to transport that out to other places now. And that coastal area with the Coho seems like a place that's ripe for it. There's a number of things going on out there with the Conservation Fund taking over a large piece of land now. And there's staff that are interested in doing pilots like that, watershed steward pilots, and seeing how we can do that and interact with all the stakeholders and start to make connect dots and make more improvements for the species that are endangered out there. So the time seems ripe for it. Staff's interested in that kind of approach and spreading it. So I hope we end up with that on the list. I think we will.
Very good.
And I would also say that we'll probably post that draft work plan in July when we get it done so that it's available to the public to look at as well.
And again, as that goes, Fred, can I just ask that you similarly inform us just that it's up there, that it's out there and
certainly.
We can see it.
Yeah, we don't want to surprise you, yes.
Yeah, we'll just so it's out there.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Appreciate it. All right. Let's move on.